This is the son of PCJ. PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your show, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. Well, we did make the... we are here. We did make it through the invasion of Earth last week, as Andy Senate just mentioned. We're still here. We are still here. You know, I was kind of hoping that because of our special presentation last week, you know, just by chance, sort of hoping that maybe someone would have taken it seriously, wrote us and say, I hope you guys are okay. But nobody did, you know. So that's actually, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us today. It's always nice to have you with us. As always, we do have a special guest actually coming up on today's show. In fact, at this very moment that you're listening to us right now, he is actually still on the air. Yes, he is actually still on the air, and we'll tell you about who that is in just a few moments. But because of our special guest, I thought that today's music selection would be, well, kind of the music that he would play on his show on this other radio station, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So maybe you can guess who our special guest is by, you know, the music that we play before we get to him. We're going to begin right away with Nina Simone, and I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl.
I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl. You've been acting different, I've been told. Soothe me, I want some sugar in my bowl. I want some steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
We the incredible Nina Simone with a composition she wrote herself called I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. Well, it's now time to get to this week's mailbag. All right, I want to say hello first to Munir Kathai Parabath. He is the chief accountant at the Gulf Asian English School in the United Arab Emirates. And he says, I'm a shortwave listener from Calcutta, India, and now, of course, living in the United Arab Emirates. I have listened to your radio broadcast for the first time on September the 22nd and enjoyed what I heard. I've also attached a clip of your broadcast. Well, thank you very much for your kind email. We did get the clip, by the way, and we did respond to you with our QSL. So you should be receiving that very shortly indeed. Actually, thank you very much. I think this is the first time, or rather second time, that we've received something from the United Arab Emirates. Next, hello to Taiko Mitsukuri, who lives in Sakura, Japan. Also to Junichi Chiba, who lives in Hirazumi, also in Japan. And we now have our first letter here from Hong Kong. And I know that some people listening right now are tuning to this through a website called Global Tuners. And they're logging on to a tuner, actually, that is located in Hong Kong. Sorry about the paper noise. Just sort of organizing things as I'm talking away. But this is a letter that we got not from the gentleman who runs the radio that you're listening to right now, for those who are listening via Global Tuners, but from somebody else. His name is Harry Borsma, and he lives in the Wan Chai district of Hong Kong, an area of Hong Kong that I know very well. In fact, I spend a fair amount of time in Hong Kong, and you were actually kind enough to include your email address. So the next time I'm in Hong Kong, which I know will be very soon, actually, I will contact you. He says, I'm listening from my home on the 12th floor of an apartment building in the most densely populated area of the city. Well, I'm wondering, how do you do that? Because I know what it's like for reception there. You're using a Perseus receiver, and you have 5 meters of long wire outside. So are we the only ones that come in clear? Because I know when I was in Hong Kong and was doing some listening there, it was quite difficult, I have to say. It was really quite difficult. And I remember after about a couple of days, I sort of gave up trying to listen to anything. It was more frustrating than anything. Next, actually, hello to Mr. Shinochuro Mori, who lives in Saitama in Japan. Hello to you. Somebody by the name of Alex Torbeni in Indonesia. Hello to you as well, and thank you very much for the details that you sent for last week's broadcast of War of the Worlds. And I should mention that those who did tune in and wrote in, wrote in for last week's broadcast of War of the Worlds, we'll be getting a special EQSL or printed QSL for that broadcast. So we know we got the email ones. I think Victor already responded to. And the ones by post probably will be coming in sometime this week. So hold on to your suspenders. And if you're not wearing any suspenders, pull up your pants. Don't ask me. Sometimes the things that just come out of my mouth absolutely make no sense at all. Our next one is from a listener in India by the name of Mandikant Lodaya. And he sent a reception report to us, which is just written on some, well, ordinary paper, probably from some type of notebook, for the broadcast that he heard on the 4th of October. And he mentions DRM here because, as you probably know, in the month of October, we did conduct 2 DRM tests, one targeting Europe and the other targeting East and Southeast Asia. And a number of you have been asking if we're planning to do that again. Well, we are, actually, but we don't know when yet. But we do have something very special coming up that I think you will enjoy. Now, you're probably aware that Happy Station on Sundays, of course, is a recorded program. But we are planning to do a live, yes, a live version of the show. So when I say, how do you do, that means you'll hear me say, how do you do, at exactly the same time. So we are going to be doing a live edition of the show. Stay tuned for more details on that. And of course, we want audience participation in that show. So we'll, be calling some of you up. But stay tuned. We'll give out the details on that. But getting back to this letter here, he says, here it is. I'm sure not many in the subcontinent have DRM receivers. Is there a future for DRM? Well, to be honest, DRM as a technology is not the problem, because the two tests that we did, when they were picked up on good receivers, they sounded absolutely fantastic. But then I'll get to this. Receivers, that is the issue. The quality of receivers actually has not been, I think, what a lot of people were expecting. So listening to DRM broadcasts, the few that are out there, makes it sometimes very difficult. We actually had a total of 3 DRM receivers made by a company called Newstar in China, the Newstar DR111. And I think after less than a year, all 3 of them developed problems. So, this is a problem, especially for something that's around $135. Now, if they can come out with a receiver between, let's say, $80 and $100 that is well-built, excellent selectivity, excellent reception, then perhaps... it might catch on, but I think that honestly, between you and me and the lamppost, I think DRM's time has come. Now, some broadcasters, like Radio New Zealand International, are using DRM to distribute their programs to stations in the Pacific, so that's actually a good use for it. But I think from a listener standpoint, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong, but the way I'm very confident to say, I would even bet money that the future doesn't look too bright. Again, come out with a good receiver. So, if there's any receiver manufacturers listening right now, come out with a good DRM receiver, and then perhaps we've got something. All right. I'll give out our contact details in a moment, so it'll give you time to get something to write it down. So we'll have a little bit more music, and this is sort of a teaser about who our guest is. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, he is actually on air at this moment. Yes. So when he ends his show, he'll be coming on to join us. Who is it? Well, you'll have to stay tuned to find out. But first, a little bit more music. Here's Canadian jazz vocalist, hint, hint. No, it's not the singer. It's somebody else. Canadian jazz vocalist George Evans and Riding High.
Love had knocked me, really sucked me for a loop. Love had dished me till you fished me from the soup. Now together we can weather anything. So please don't mutter if I should spot our life's scrape, life's grand, future all planned, no more clouds in the sky. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Someone I love, mad for my love. So long, Jonah, goodbye. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Floating on a crazy ceiling, doting on the cards I'm dealing, gloating because I'm feeling oh so happy, I'm slap happy. So ring bells, sing songs, blow horn, be gone. Our love never will die. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Thank you. Life's great, life's grand, future all planned. No more clouds in the sky. Am I riding? I'm riding high. Someone I love met for my love. So long, Jonah, goodbye. I'm riding, I'm riding high. Floating on the shining ceiling, gloating on the cards I'm dealing, toading, because I'm feeling oh so happy. I'm swear baby, ring bells, singing songs, blow on the gongs. Our love never will die. How am I riding a
Canadian jazz vocalist and an old friend of mine, George Evans, with Riding High. If you wish to contact us, it's very easy to do so. First, our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. You can also write us via snail mail. Our postal address is PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, that's 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Sanmin Road, that's S-A-N-M-I-N, Sanmin Road, Section 1, S-E-C-T-I-O-N, 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, which is B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Taiwan, 22070-ROC. PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Sanmin Road, Section 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, Taiwan, 22070-ROC, and we look forward to hearing from you. And also, by the way, include any requests that you may have for us or a greeting for someone. You know, and I thought of an idea for a greeting. How about if there's somebody you'd like us to call to wish them happy birthday? Include their phone number and a suggested time that you think would be best for us to call, and we can call up and say, oh, happy birthday to you from so-and-so, and, you know, we can use it on the program. So do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. All right, we're going to have another piece of music when we come back. Today's special guest. This is a recording of Glenn Miller and his orchestra made at the Abbey Road Studios in London in the last year of World War II. This is made up of a series of recordings that he was doing for a radio broadcast that was targeting Germany. And these are absolutely fantastic recordings and fantastic arrangements. Glenn Miller and Everybody Loves My Baby. Thank you. Everybody Loves My Baby, Glenn Miller and his orchestra, recorded at the Abbey Road Studios in London. Now, earlier I said that today's guest is actually on the air the same time that we begin our show. Who am I talking about? Well, the name of the radio station is the station that you're all familiar with, the Voice of America. And the Voice of America has a long tradition of playing jazz. It began in the 1950s with Willis Conover and continues today. My very special guest on today's show is Russ Davis, who just concluded his show a few minutes ago on the VOA. Russ, thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to us. You've been doing Jazz America now for quite some time. How did it all begin for you?
I work with Voice of America as an independent contractor, as Willis did as well. He had a different situation. I'll tell you a funny story about that. But in addition to that, I do other programs for other people from time to time. I've done programs for Jazz FM in England and for Bay FM 78 in the Tokyo Bay Area and for other stations around the world. And also, I have my own online radio channel called Moja Radio, M-O-J-A, mojaradio.com for modern jazz. And so all of those things come from this one little spot, and I'm the only person involved in doing it. Now, with Willis, he had a very interesting situation. You know, he did his program for over 40 years, and he did it from that studio in Washington, D.C., in the VOA offices. Well, he was not an employee of the U.S. government. He was an independent contractor, but he was so powerful that he commandeered a studio space and got all of these people to help him and do his work with him. And one day, an auditor walked in and said, "Who is this guy? He's not on our list." Somehow, he was basically breaking the law by having that office, but he was such an influential and powerful figure that they just kind of overlooked the rules and let Willis go as he would. And that's the power of jazz, my friend.
Well, it certainly is. Now, when you started doing Jazz America, because of the history of jazz on the VOA and Willis Conover, was it going through the back of your mind, you know, did you ever think, how am I going to fill those shoes? How am I going to fill that void?
Keith, you better believe I thought about that, because as being a jazz radio presenter and programmer since 1978, and everyone in the industry knew Willis's name. Now, people inside the United States of America did not, because at that point there was no internet broadcasting. It was only terrestrial broadcasting. So by law and the charter of the VOA, it was illegal for people to broadcast VOA reproduce them inside the USA. So nobody knew him, but we in the industry knew him. So I knew what a legendary figure he was. And when I heard that they had run out of playing his old programs and they were looking for a new presenter, a friend of mine who worked in Washington, D.C. and had a friend at VOA said, "Well, you should apply for this." And I said, "Well, you know, I know Willis Conover, and I knew he was a 100% straight ahead, in other words, very traditional jazz programmer and presenter. And I was involved and aware of and conversant with not only straight ahead traditional jazz, but I also leaned a lot in the work that I had done with contemporary jazz or modern jazz and even electric jazz, something I think that Willis would have turned his back on." And I didn't think they really wanted someone like me. So when I said, "Well, why not? You know, I have some international experience, and I work in New York, and I've worked in different markets, so why not? I'll just give it a shot." I discovered that John Stevenson, one of the heads of English Broadcasting, who was in charge of bringing on board a new jazz presenter, he was interested in someone who had that awareness and would modernize the style of jazz on VOA. And so because of that and my international experience, they brought me in. But it was a daunting task, because I knew that a lot of people who'd listened to Willis over the years were probably going to be expecting that purely traditional presentation, and that wasn't something I was going to present. So I was not sure I was going to be accepted, but luckily over the years now, and I've been doing this since 1999, I've had broad acceptance from both factions of the jazz fandom, if you will, those who will accept modern and even embrace modern jazz, and those who are traditionalists.
When you started the show, did you start the show in New York, or were you just going back and forth between Washington?
No, I've always done it from New York. But at the time, I was also working with a satellite radio company based in Washington, D.C., so I was back and forth quite often between the two. But I always produced it, and that was part of the agreement. They did not want to have another situation where someone was going to be coming in using their facilities and their studio. So it was mandated that I had to have my own studio, and that was fine with me. I already had it in place. And Washington, New York City is where I've produced the program 100% of the time.
This past weekend when I was tuning in, because Jazz Americas is heard here in Asia on medium wave, shortwave, and you can also pick it up on the internet, and the VOA being a powerhouse, what it is, the shortwave frequencies for the VOA are booming here. I mean, literally booming, and that's an understatement.
That's
and
great.
It was an interesting show because you were talking about the mixture of jazz and classical music.
Yes.
And that is something that your approach to Jazz America being so different, as much as I respect Willis Conover and I listened to his show for many years, your show really covers a broader spectrum of jazz, because if you say jazz, you can't really narrow it into just one, you know, specific type, because there's so many types.
Yes, sir. You know, that's right, Keith. And here's part of the reason for that. Willis was covering basically the big band era and the great singers, and he loved them deeply, in the standards and how those standards pop songs of the day had been turned into jazz pieces. And those great big bands, I mean, come on, Duke Ellington, Take the A-Train was his theme song, and all those wonderful singers, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, etc. He started basically in that area, Louis Armstrong and the first recordings of the 30s, basically, and he went up to bebop and a little bit beyond. Okay, so we're talking about a spectrum of, in general, generally speaking, about four decades. For me, I'll play Louis Armstrong, I'll play Billie Holiday, I'll play Bessie Smith if I can find anything, I'll play the first recordings of jazz, but right next to it, I'll play something from 2010. So I'm talking about 80 years that I'm covering, because jazz, like any other art form, has gone through an evolution and continues to evolve. So many jazz purists and you laughed when I said this in the beginning, that I would actually have the audacity to play electric jazz. Many jazz purists don't believe that jazz can be made with electric instruments. Well, au contraire, mon frère, it can, because to me, part of the definition of jazz is that it is improvised music. And if it is improvised, then it can be played on an oud, it can be played on a harp, it can be played on an electric guitar, it can be played on an electric keyboard, just like it can be played on a saxophone, a trumpet, a clarinet, an acoustic piano, or any other acoustic instrument. So the fact that that is true, and that it is a wonderful American-born art form of international elements, but now the international jazz and improvised music scene is so alive, and we have the ability to share our different styles with one another from all over the world. Well, it's one of the most exciting times in jazz history. So why in the world would I limit the scope of what I would be playing? I have so much to choose from, not only the eight decades, but also the many styles from literally all over the world.
You know, between 2000 and 2006, I hosted a jazz show that was airing on domestic radio in China called Jazz Beat. And when I started the show, because it was mainly targeting a Chinese audience, and at the time when I started the show, there were no other jazz shows airing in China. I presented it in English. And I remember thinking, you know, okay, the audience is probably going to want to hear the Billie Holidays and the Louis Armstrongs. And I remember one week bringing along Chick Corea, who I absolutely adore his stuff. I think his stuff is absolutely fabulous. And even the stuff that he was doing in the 70s was, at the time, I found, way ahead of its time. And I remember playing the track, it was from a classic album that he recorded on ECM. And I was so surprised at the response, because people wrote me and they said, the stuff that I heard, I would never have put it into the jazz category.
I'd like to know what that song was.
I think it was Return to Yesterday.
Uh-huh. Return to Forever.
Return to Forever. That's it. Yes.
Right. Exactly. Well, I think that there are so many different styles that run through the mind and soul and spirit of Chick Corea. And he's a great example of openness and eagerness to embrace any influence that he comes in contact with. He would never limit himself, and that to me is the essence of jazz. So many times when I get email from folks from all over the world, they resonate to the fact that jazz itself is freedom personified, freedom made manifest in the form of sound, emotion truly coming through, and part of the definition is that it is free. Now, Chick Corea, to me, is the preeminent jazz man alive today because, and he's turning 70 years old next year, by the way, he is of an age and a generation that is embracing the past. He loved Bud Powell deeply, so he knows the traditions of jazz and can play in that idiom without any problem whatsoever. But he was also born in an age when pop music and rock music were permeating the society. And so any artist who's truly reflecting their time on earth is going to be affected by the trends that they come in contact with at that time. So it was absolutely natural for him to embrace electric instruments because that was what was being used. So he can live in all those various worlds, and he's looking for so many other influences. I've said to him a number of times, Chick, I think you were a Spanish person in another life because he has this Spanish heart. And he has so much influence of Spanish music, Latin music, in his music as well. So he's got four or five distinct influences that you can easily, recognizably find in his music. And one of them is what a lot of people have called third stream, or the blending of classical music and jazz. He's often mentioned many times that Mozart is his favorite composer, and he's so influenced by his music. So that's probably a lot of what you were hearing when you heard that song, Return to Forever, Keith, and any other music that he's made in the past quite often has had that classical leaning.
Have you heard before, and this is something that I've heard from quite a few people, have said, who are not, they don't like the music, have said, jazz is for old people and it's an old form of music. And I actually, for myself, I have to completely disagree. I've been to so many jazz festivals. The most recent one was actually one in Tokyo, Japan, and found the audience was predominantly under 30 years old.
Yeah. Well, I will go to my grave arguing with people that jazz is not, quote unquote, old folks music. And I think I know why people say that, because quite often when they think about jazz or read about jazz, they're reading the comments of a writer or a critic who is remembering the quote unquote glory days of jazz when the giants walked the earth. John Coltrane, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington, etc., etc. Well, those people certainly were giants. But they're just not, those writers are not keeping up with the current trends, partly because, well, a few factors, I suppose. So those same critics are the people that are still in power. They're still most widely read in the most influential jazz publications or websites, etc. And they won't give up their place, and they have no reason to give up their place as very important and prominent writers or critics. They have every right to continue to say what they say. But when folks say it's old folks music, they're not looking hard enough. because people like me, and I have a feeling people like you, and many more open presenters, programmers, writers, and critics are reflecting the new things that are happening. That's a big part of what I do on my channel, Mojo Radio. To me, it is covering what I call the middle ground between traditional, mostly acoustic, swing and jazz, that old folks' music, as you say, and smooth jazz or contemporary jazz, which is more of an easy listening sort of style. In the middle, and that's where jazz fusion and all of the electric forms of jazz, funky jazz, world jazz, acid jazz, techno jazz, all those forms in the middle ground, that's what I'm covering. And that's what a lot of people, I'm afraid, have overlooked. So those young folks that you saw in Tokyo and the ones that go to that great festival in Jakarta every year, I've heard there's a fantastic festival there, and festivals really all over the world. They're going and they're hearing all of this wonderful new jazz. And I know with your background, Keith, in Europe, you know how they have embraced electric jazz. There's incredible music coming from Scandinavia. The band Jaga Jazzist is fantastic. Esbjorn Svensson Group from Sweden, rest his soul, he was fantastic. He played it in an all-acoustic setting, acoustic piano, bass, and drums, but he embraced new rhythms and new styles and new ways of looking at and creating improvised music. He was not playing the music of Bud Powell, swinging on the ones and the threes. He was doing some backbeat, and he was coming up with some new rhythms. Those are the sort of things that I'm looking for to project and to exhibit what jazz is today. And believe me, if anybody thinks it's old folks' music, they're just not looking closely enough.
Russ Davis from Jazz America, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Keith, it's been my great, great pleasure. And the only problem I've had here is that your voice is so infinitely more resonant and perfect than mine. I'm jealous. So you have a great presentation, I can tell. And thanks for having me on your program. It really was a joy.
All right. Thank you very much, Russ. And hopefully we'll have you again very shortly on the show. And we can talk more about music and so many other things. Great guest. All right. We're going to have now a little bit of music from that recording that we talked about just a few moments ago of Chick Corea. The album is called Return to Forever, and here's the title track. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Hey.
the title track from the classic Return to Forever album from Chick Corea, that also features Arturo Martelli on drums and percussion, Stanley Clark on electric bass and double bass, Forapuram on percussion, and also some vocals on some of the tracks, and Joel Farrell on flutes and soprano saxophone. Now, if you enjoyed the jazz played on today's show, I invite you to tune in to Jazz for the Asking, which is heard on some of the stations that are broadcasting this program right now, the Happy Station Show. Or, of course, you can find it all at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for this week. We're going to be ending with the First Lady of Song, the great Ella Fitzgerald, and Guys and Dolls. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Powell wishing you all, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
When you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some doll. When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane, as only a John can be for a Jane. When you see a mouse hurry out of the house, and she runs 20 blocks for cigars and rice, call it dumb, call it clever, ah, but you can give odds forever that the doll's only doing it for some guy. It for some guy. When you find a doll with her diamond in hock, rest assured that the rock has gone to restock some gentleman jock. When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten the Taj Mahal, call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it. He's only doing it. The boob is doing it.